This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us right now, though, we're going to talk some football. Our weekly visit with one of our favorite guests, BMAC, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, a proud member of the Seminoles when there was things to be proud about. He joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. BMAC, Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. How does that make you feel?
You know what? Considering the options, it makes me feel pretty good. Hopefully we can get something done because the only option we have outside of Aaron Rodgers in terms of a starting quarterback is Mason Rudolph and potentially going back down the road with Russell Wilson. I, for one, would welcome Aaron Rodgers, consider the other options, and hopefully we get some news from Aaron Rodgers sooner than later.
Do you think he would acquiesce to Mike T and the culture he has there, or do you think he'd still try to pull some of those same shenanigans he did with the Jets?
No, I think it's a different situation, Chris, than what Aaron Rodgers walked into in New York with the Jets. Let's keep it real. When Aaron Rodgers became a New York Jet, he had the biggest personality, the biggest character, the biggest, fame out of any other individual in that organization, including the head coach. But when he goes to Pittsburgh, number one, the foundation is already laid. You're talking about a organization, granted, they haven't had a lot of postseason success in most recent, but they got success. Mike Tomlin is a bigger personality than Aaron Rodgers in the NFL landscape. The brand is a bigger personality than Aaron Rodgers. So it's a different situation. You know, New York was trying to figure things out. Robert Saleh was trying to figure things out. Pittsburgh has already figured things out. Mike Tomlin has as well. So I think Aaron Rodgers walks into a situation knowing that, man, I'm not the biggest fish in the pond anymore.
I know that they love stability, BMAC, in Pittsburgh. It goes without saying, you know, from Chuck Knoll to obviously the Chin, and now with Bill Cowher, and then to Mike Tomlin. But it just seems like they're just not really going anywhere. You know what I mean? They're just not getting out of that first round. I mean, we know the record, and look, a lot of Falcon fans say, hell, I'll take 10-7 all day over where we've been living. But it seems like there maybe needs to be a sense of urgency with the Steelers this year to really go somewhere.
Yeah, the standard is a high standard year in and year out for Pittsburgh. But to your point, Mike, they haven't done anything relevant in postseason play. And for whatever excuses you want to make, you've been good enough to be good in the regular season, but you flatline in the postseason. So the sense of urgency has to be there. And you look at adding Aaron Rodgers, right now he's better than any other option. Now, will this get you over the hump? Most people would say no, because we feel like Aaron Rodgers – the great Aaron Rodgers is no longer there. Now, can he be more than a serviceable guy? The one bright spot, I'll say, Mike and Chris, is that the last month of the season with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, he played really, really good football. You know, they didn't win a lot of ball games, but if you look at his overall numbers throughout the entire season, they weren't bad. So most folks are hoping and thinking that, hey, maybe he can give the same thing that he did for the Jets in the latter months of the season in 2024 to start the entire season off if he becomes a Steeler.
All right, so here in Atlanta, you know the deal. We talk about it with you seemingly every week, B, but the latest is that teams may have been calling about Kirk, maybe as high as a third-round pick. Then we get conflicting reports that the Falcons are the ones doing the calling. Do you think come week one, Kirk Cousins will actually be the backup quarterback here in Atlanta?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Listen, it doesn't make any sense. It won't make any sense. It won't. I don't care if someone is offering you a late round pick for Kirk Cousins. Move on. Move on. Because having him be a part of the Atlanta Falcons this year does more harm than good, in my opinion. Because clearly, Michael Penix is the guy. Regardless of what happens with Michael Penix, as long as he's healthy, he is the guy. That's why you drafted him with a top 10 pick a year ago. So just move on. Stop prolonging the process. You're holding on to something that's no longer there. So I believe that's the smart thing to do, and that actually will happen before the start of the season, because it doesn't make any sense to have a backup quarterback who's making north of $20 million, who wants to be a starter, being a part of your team, because eventually he can become a distraction without saying one word, just being on the roster.
Right. And we talked to Ovi Mihaly, another NFL veteran who said the same thing. He says, weird juju in the locker room. You know, it just creates strange energy. And that's something, like I said, look, I understand the Falcons. You got to bluff and you play the long game and you hope somebody comes to you, maybe Cleveland. And here's the thing, B, the one saving grace is maybe we spend like 15, 17, I don't know. We're going to have to eat a big chunk of that thing just to get him out of here, but maybe we could buy a pick. And that, I guess that's all you could ask for. I think most Falcon fans want to see that pick be for this draft. It may just have to be for 26.
Exactly. I'm right there with you. Just whatever you can get, I don't care if it's a box of Kit Kats. I can care less. Take it and just move on.
Chatting with our buddy Bryant McFadden, co-host, All Things Covered podcast. Check him out, CBS HQ analyst as well. All right, B, the Falcons make a couple of other moves. They bring in Jordan Fuller at safety. We talked to somebody yesterday out of Charlotte who said he was just a guy here, but then you look at the back of the football card in L.A., seemed to gel well with Raheem. Do you think he is a starting caliber player for the Falcons?
I think he can be. To your point, he had really, really good success playing under Coach Raheem for the Rams, and something just didn't click well with him with the Carolina Panthers. I do believe, though, I'll say this, you know, adding Jordan Fuller just adds more depth to an area where you need to improve on, in my opinion. So I think they still need to draft a safety. They need to try to add more talent, depending on what happens. If you look at this board of safeties, it's a talented group in the draft. Of course, you know, Nick Emenwori is my top guy. I think he's probably one of the best defensive backs, forget safety or corner, that's available. But you look at the second and third round, fourth round type value, there's still value there. But I think right now, you know, Coach Raheem is thinking that he can revitalize Fuller to be the player that he became while playing for the Rams, and that's why he went out and made that move.
It is our man, Bryant McFadden. Guys, we're bouncing around the NFL as we're live from Twin Peaks here in Buckhead. Yeah, man, I know it's going to be an exciting year. I mean, everybody's loaded up. Some teams, like I think the Commanders, I mean, we always get they won the offseason. Well, they're already a good team, but Commanders made some moves. I think, you know, Ravens got to beef up the defense. Everybody's chasing the Chiefs. And in the Chiefs, they fixed their O-line. That's the thing, B. I think in the AFC, I don't know how people just expect the Chiefs to fall off the planet. I think they're going to be right back in the mix next year.
No question. When you got 15, you're going to be right back in the mix. You know what I mean? They went to the Super Bowl. And what people are forgetting about is that Kansas City made it to the Super Bowl, and throughout the entire season, they played without their wide receiver one and wide receiver two. And they played without those guys, both missing time pretty much the majority of the season when you talk about losing Rashee Rice and losing Hollywood Brown. How many offenses could be able to weather that storm in the National Football League, losing both wide receiver one and wide receiver two? Think about what Philadelphia. Think about if Philly lost A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they both missed time at the same time. And we're talking about more than eight games. Think about what that offense would have looked like. Granted, you still had Saquon Barkley, but clearly it would have been a drop-off. All the Chiefs did was find different ways to win ball games. Now they're starting to stockpile talent, you know, getting healthier. So, yeah, you cannot turn your back on Kansas City as long as they have Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, and you can't forget about Steve Spagnuolo.
Where do you have right now Shadur and Cam Ward going in the draft, B?
I think, you know, just based on everything that I've been hearing and watching and reading, I think Cam Ward would be the first quarterback to come off the board. I just did a mock draft a few days ago. I actually had Tennessee taking Cam Ward. They got to go get a quarterback. They have no quarterback. Abdul Carter is a very, very intriguing, enticing prospect. But you got to find a way to answer the most important question on your team, which is the quarterback. I, in that very same mock draft, I had the New York Giants selecting Shedeur Sanders at 3. Makes sense all in the world, especially if he's available. Even though you're trying to bring in a potential bridge veteran quarterback, it makes sense to go get Shedeur if he's available.
Hey, B-Mac, we were talking about this a few weeks ago about, you know, Travis Hunter and what team's going to get him and how conservative are they going to be using his amazing skills on both sides of the football. We went back and looked at it because Deion said, why would you keep the best on the bench in an interview recently? Deion, his most receptions 1 year, we went back and looked it up. It was the Cowboys. It was 36 receptions in a season. So that's, is that what you envision, like the most you'll see for a guy like Travis Hunter in the right offense?
I think we can see more than that. The thing about Travis Hunter, and I say this all the time, when you look at offensive players, wide receivers don't play 100% of the snaps anyway. Think about it. In an NFL game, in a game in general, the only position groups that plays the entire snaps, right, especially if they're healthy, is the offensive line. All five offensive linemen play every rep, the quarterback and the cornerbacks and the safeties. And linebackers based on packages. But when you look at wide receivers, they're coming in and out anyway. So if I'm the New England Patriots, and let's say, hypothetically speaking, they draft Travis Hunter, I will have Travis Hunter playing both ways. Because you're not going to play every snap, even if you're only playing one position. If you're only playing wide receiver, you're not going to play every snap anyway. But I will find a way to have snaps for him to be involved offensively and then make sure he's involved in the defense.
All right, B, when you look at the state of the NFC right now, do you feel like the 49ers are doing enough to get back in the mix, or are they going to be a team that has sort of let their window pass, especially after moving on from guys like Debo this offseason?
Chris, that window, I'm not saying the window is closed, but that window has passed, in my opinion, right? Kyle Shanahan, I want to say in a four-year span, you made it to 2 Super Bowls, you didn't win one. Those are missed opportunities. Now you look at the turnover in the roster, right? You're talking about a team that's already lost 11 out of the 22 starters from a year ago. Now, it's not a rebuild, but it's a turnover right on the roster. And now you're about to pay your rookie quarterback who you've had at a bargain deal over the last 2-plus years, right? Now you got to really be mindful in what you do in terms of the money, because the money will most of the money will be tied up in your young quarterback. And the only thing you have to show for everything that you've had, think about all the talent they had on their team over the last 2 years. It's just a Super Bowl appearance. And in both Super Bowl losses, we can't forget, Chris, they had a double-digit lead in both games.
Right.
So I'm not saying the window is closed, but in terms of what we've seen, it's almost like they missed their opportunity, in my opinion, because other teams now are really catching our attention. When we talk about the San Francisco 49ers in the last few years, anytime we talk about them in the NFC, we will always have them in what? The top one or the top two. Now when you look at other teams that we would consider getting ready for this season, San Francisco won't make the top one or top two. They won't make the top three, in my opinion.
Hey, B-Mac, before we cut you loose, man, I was joking around with Chris, I think it was yesterday's show, and I had some Florida State buddies of mine are all in the same boat. Should I renew my FSU season tickets for this year? Alabama's the first game.
Hey, don't you give up hope, Mike. Don't you do that. We had a rocky year, but don't you give up hope. I believe we're bouncing back. I mean, think about it like this, Mike. The bar is set pretty low this year. We only won 2 games last year.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But the
this feels like
the
Jeff,
standard,
Jeff Bowden, Willie Taggart kind of Florida State for me, man. I don't know. I'm nervous in the service.
Yeah. But hopefully everything, we get this thing bouncing back, man. And we got some talented players coming in, and hopefully they can really make it work and be at their best. Because to your point, it was a long, long year for all us former Noles watching our Noles go to battle last year.
And you actually graduated. All right, brother. Have a great weekend, B. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you.